Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Woofing Possum podcast. It's been a while, and hopefully the title of this episode might give it away on probably the biggest reason why I've not been recording. And it is because the Great Paws household does have a puppy. Well, it's been a crazy time, so I thought I'd give you a little bit of insight in what's happened since part one. If you haven't listened to that, please do go back and have a quick listen. But yeah, time to bring you up to speed with all things puppy and talk about some of the common challenges and some of the dilemmas that we face when we've got a new puppy in our life. So, here we go. Okay, folks, last time I was speaking to you about puppies, it was really about kind of where we're at in the decision-making process, looking at breeders, different breeds, you know, having discussions with those breeders around kind of the potential of getting a puppy. And I believe that we'd obviously talked about kind of that shift in breed from looking at potentially giant schnauzers to then looking at mountain breeds. So we were on a waiting list for a Bernese Mountain Dog with some fantastic breeders. But during that process, unfortunately, it didn't quite work out. The breeder only ended up having one pup, which turned out to be a bitch, and we knew that we'd need a dog because of the family dynamic that we currently had, and we thought a dog would be a better fit. And as that was kind of coming to light, I got a call to let me know that a friend of mine who knew a fairly new breeder, to be honest, had Golden Retriever puppies, and there was one still available due to not going to the intended home, which was honestly great because it showed a brilliant level of due diligence from the breeder. And we were asked, you know, do we want to go and see him? Fatal, I know, absolutely fatal, because the minute you see a puppy, it's very, very hard to detach kind of head and heart. But yeah, we went. So my wife and I, we went over to see this breeder, met mum, had a chat about dad, and got to meet the puppy Golden Retriever in his kind of breeder's home, where there was young children, and he was out exploring the place. He was honestly, he was pretty brilliant. So from my perspective, so again, I can really give you real insight into kind of where my head was at when we went to see the puppy, was obviously our old boy Hugo, who's been my kind of little right-hand dog with all things Great Paws. He's actually sadly no longer with us, but he was at the point of retiring. He'd done amazing work. The old guy needed a bit of a rest. So for me, I was looking for a temperament, basically. A temperament that showed me that the dog could be confident, was inquisitive, could explore, but also was fairly bomb-proof. So could deal with things happening in the environment, wasn't getting overly excited or overly kind of scared or worried. So getting to see this little puppy moving around the house, dealing with kind of obviously what the children were doing, running around the house and kind of playing with games and things like that, and obviously they were at the risk of offending the breeder, but they were quite loud. There was lots of things going on, and puppy was just taking all of this stuff in its stride as it kind of wandered around the house. Was inquisitive, just seemed pretty well rounded, which for me personally was exactly what I wanted. And he was a big pup. For a Golden Retriever, he was massive. So he was, I think he was 9 weeks old when we got to see him. And you could just tell by the physical size of him, but also kind of some of those key features like his paws were absolutely ginormous for a pup of that age. Health checks, all the kind of usual checks that we went through with the breeder were coming out pretty good. So my wife and I took 10 minutes. So we kind of went outside, went and sat back in the van, and we had a chat around whether we thought this was the right dog to join our family. And it was. I've got to say, my wife had a real connection with the pup, and I did as well, and I loved his kind of personality. I loved the temperament that we could see, obviously, at such a young age. And that was it. So we paid the deposit. I then had a week away to finally go and visit family after COVID, who live abroad. And we came back and we got to collect Puppy. So Puppy was a little bit older. He'd been with Mum a bit longer without his siblings. They'd all obviously gone to their homes from round about the age of 8 weeks. So by the time the breeder did keep hold of him until I came back from my travel. And so when we collected him, he was about 10 weeks old. And that was it. There he was. We've got a new puppy. He's a golden retriever and he is called Axel. And if you can hear any noise in the background, it's him currently chewing on one of his safe chew bones because he is teething. He is now 16 weeks, if I'm getting my calculations right. 16 weeks old. Yes, you are, mate. I don't know if you heard that, folks, but that was him giving a little bit of a grumble. But yes, he's 16 weeks old, so we've had him about 6 weeks now. And wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a roller coaster it is having a puppy in your life. So for me, folks, I think little man might actually need a toilet break. So I'm going to quickly pause, folks. I'll be back in a moment. Yes, he did. So I'm celebrating that little win of him telling me he needed to go out. So, folks, I thought I would kind of go back in time to the point where my wife and I decided that Axel was going to come and join our family. But as I mentioned, I had a bit of a gap between obviously making that decision and him actually joining us, which was absolutely perfect because what it allowed me to do was to come home and start to set up the environment ready for pup arriving, but to give my other two dogs, Betty Boo and Hugo, a chance to basically acclimatise to things changing in the house. Now, this is a step that we can sometimes miss now, whether that's just with humans or with other animals in our household. So once you're at a point where you're making a decision to bring any dog into your house, really, especially a puppy, you want to ensure that the environment's set up, obviously, so that they can be safe, they can be secure, and that also they're not kind of all getting on top of each other. Because I've got, obviously, I had Hugo, he was elderly. Obviously, Betty Boo, she likes very high amounts of control when she's meeting other dogs, so things are predictable and safe and she can relax rather than feel like she needs to get a little bit alert and kind of overly vigilant. And obviously puppies are puppies. They want to explore, they want to get into everything, they want to effectively climb, crawl, mouth, just be into anything and everything. And I didn't kind of want those three different needs to be ignored, and I also didn't want those needs to also become a problem for me. So we got back, we started to rearrange the house and started to do some practical things. So honestly, folks, with this podcast, I'm not really trying to make it anything. I'm just going to literally share kind of some of the things we did, some of the things that we've experienced so far over the past 6 weeks or so. But starting with that house prep, what we did was we ensured that we had a crate for him. I wanted him to be crate trained. A couple of reasons for that. So firstly, I think it's just a great skill for dogs to learn. There might be times in their life where they need to be crated, whether that's because they're traveling in a vehicle, whether that's because it's a vet visit that requires them to be kind of in holding at some point. Some groomers, for example, use crates and cages. Even, obviously, you know, if he was going to go to kennels at any point, or things like that. So there's lots of times in his life where he may encounter being in a smaller confined space. And I don't want him to hate it, I don't want him to fear it, and I don't want him to get stressed when he's in there. So we had a crate, we had an exercise pen, a very tall exercise pen, because he's a very big puppy. And what we did was we rearranged the furniture in the dining room where we kind of moved the table into a corner, piled all the chairs on top of the table, and we popped the crate under the table, and then from the edges of the crate we were able to kind of bring off the exercise pen so that he had an area to himself which could have all his toys, all the things that he wants to interact with in that pen, and he can get straight into his crate as and when he wants to. And obviously we can go in and out of that pen as well to help him out when we need it. Before we did that as well, though, we did put some new flooring down. I say new flooring. What we did is we got an offcut of vinyl flooring, lino. We put that down so that, again, if there was any accidents, if he started to chew the floor, again, he's chewing effectively a disposable floor, not the nice floor that we actually want to keep and keep intact. So it was an oversized cut for the space we needed, which meant there was probably about a good 6 inches minimum around all the perimeter of the exercise pen and his crate, so there wasn't any kind of loose edges to get hold of and start to pull through the exercise pen or the crate. But also, it's obviously easy to clean as well, which is obviously great, obviously, with young puppies who obviously will struggle with their bladder control as their muscles develop and as they're growing. So we set that environment up, his toys, his balls, the crate, the blankets, kind of anything and everything were in that area for just over a week, which gave Hugo and Betty Boo lots of times to explore, to sniff, to have a look around and be used to that change in layout of the house as well. Because even just moving furniture for some dogs can be a big adjustment, let alone obviously bringing another dog into the equation. So fast forward a week, we went to collect Axel, and obviously we had to really think about how do we do the integration. And there's some fantastic books out there, guys, which I will, if I remember on, I will link in the show notes for you to kind of look at. But obviously, knowing my own dogs, I kind of had a plan in mind of what it was that I wanted to do. So the first thing was ensuring that the big dogs, so Hugo and Betty Boo, weren't actually in the house and weren't in the garden when Axel arrived. So what happened was, once we collected Axel, my wife brought him home. I took the big uns out for a walk. I think they actually came up to the training venue with me whilst I did a class as well. And then that gave Axel time to explore the house, the garden, the environment for a good few hours, and then settle into his exercise pen and his crate area comfortably without any additional excitement or pressure from the other dogs. And then when we got back, so I came back with Hugo and Betty Boo, we then had to think about, obviously, that introduction and how do we do it. Now, knowing Hugo's temperament was a lot more relaxed and a lot more nonchalant to those types of changes, what we decided to do was we'd bring Hugo in first. So Betty Boo would stay in the garden, Hugo would come in first, and Axel would be in his exercise pen, and Hugo can come and sniff or watch and look, and we would obviously be on point to help them out if needed. Now, luckily, this went like a dream. So Hugo came in. Axel was very excited to see another dog. Obviously, he'd been living with his mum, so he was used to being around another dog, was very excited, looking to find play and interaction. And Hugo went up to the exercise pen, had a bit of a sniff of him. Axel licked his face, and then Hugo just took himself away into the living room to lie down and question what we'd done to him to bring in a little puppy into his life. But after we'd done that, we can then basically swap them round. So this time, Betty Boo came in. Now, with Betty Boo, she was still wearing a harness, and a harness has got a clip-on kind of grab handle for her. So again, if she got too excited, if she wanted to start to climb on the exercise pen, at least I had a safety measure in place where I could, you know, stop her doing that. I could stop her jumping into the exercise pen if I needed to. So again, with those introductions, we're always looking kind of with that safety mindset and almost planning for the events that we hope don't happen, but obviously we want to ensure that we are prepared for regardless. And again, this is because Betty Boo's personality is very different to Hugo's, and she does get excitable around other dogs, and coming home and finding a new dog in her home, I imagine obviously would be very, very exciting for her. So with Axel being his exercise pen, it was quite a big exercise pen, so he was able to move around. He had lots of opportunity to come closer to the edge of the exercise pen, or he can go back into the middle of it, or even into his crate. And when he was in those environments, obviously Betty couldn't get to him, which allowed them to do the exact same thing. So Axel came over to the edge of the exercise pen, Betty went up for a sniff, a few licks. Betty got a bit excited and didn't really know what to do, so she starts kind of wiggling her bum, getting a little bit excited, started to paw the exercise pen. And at that point, I was like, fine, great, we can lead her away, she can go back in the garden, she can have a bit of fun and play. And then we could decide how we want to kind of manage that interaction as the night went on. And luckily for us, obviously, because it was myself and my wife, we could kind of tag team this a little bit. But even if we couldn't, it's very much about kind of like a game of chess, where you're constantly moving pieces around to ensure that all the dogs are getting all the things that they need. Now, that's intense. There's no other way for it, folks. It's a level of intensity that honestly I wasn't overly really prepared for. I don't think anybody really is. But the last time I had a very young dog in my life was Lando, and he was a little bit older when he came to us. He was about four and a half months-ish, if memory serves me right. So he wasn't true puppy, or he certainly wasn't as young as Axel was when he came. And obviously when I had Lando, he was a single dog. So he got all of my attention. I didn't have to worry about anything else. But with a multi-dog household, again, what I didn't want to do was give all of my focus and attention to the new puppy at the neglect of my other two dogs. So there's a lot of discipline to ensure that I could manage my time, manage the environment, ensure that all the dogs were getting what they needed. So that first night was very much around, again, just kind of rotating around, letting all the dogs have opportunities to go outside to toilet and things like that. And again, nobody was really getting on top of each other. They were just existing in their own chosen little spaces. Axel's slightly less so in the chosen aspect because obviously we dictated where that was. But the other two had free roam in the house so they could go where they wanted to do, where they felt safe and comfortable. And Hugo stayed in the living room. Betty actually stayed, she has a bed in the dining room, and she stayed there and honestly just watched him. She laid on that bed watching what he was doing, watching him move, watching some of our interactions with him. And she was incredibly relaxed, which I was honestly blown away by. I wasn't quite expecting that. I was expecting it to be too exciting for her constantly. As the evening went on, we actually brought his crate into the living room and we actually covered his crate over. So this allowed Betty to basically be able to smell him, but not get so excited around his kind of the visual side of things. So him moving and obviously interacting. So he was asleep in the crate. He got up a few times and moved around and readjusted. But so Betty could hear him. She could smell him. Obviously, she knew where he was, but she wasn't getting that movement stimulation visually as that night went on, which allowed everybody to settle in the living room and have a nice relaxing evening. And again, next day, folks, we came down. Obviously, the night before, we'd actually had a little bit of out-of-crate time with Axel and Hugo, which was brilliant because Axel amazingly read Hugo very well. So again, it was one of those interactions where we were being very mindful of how do we control it? What do we need to do? So for example, Axel was on lead. So this allowed us that, you know, if he was getting a little bit too intense with Hugo, we could guide him away and reward him for breaking away with Hugo. But Hugo had that free movement to go wherever he wanted. But actually what was really lovely is Hugo was always Mr. Aloof and Mr. Antisocial. He gave Axel a bit of a look, which very much in my humanizing of his body language was a don't bother, son, I'm not in the mood, I'm too old to be kind of playing around and having you jump all over me. So we could walk around together, but if you start getting a bit much, I'm not going to be happy about it. And Axel read that beautifully. So Axel didn't actually try to initiate a lot of physical interactions. He wasn't trying to kind of climb up, he wasn't trying to play, he wasn't trying to paw, he wasn't trying to do anything like that with Hugo. He just happily mooched around the garden with him, which was wonderful to see. But then fast forward to the next morning, what actually happened was we'd started the toilet training regime. And for those of you who've had a puppy, you'll hopefully know what this is like. If you're thinking about a puppy, guys, this is the one thing I think a lot of people don't really plan for. And that is the quite regimented, for us, we did 2-hour toilet breaks for Axel regardless. So it was me sleeping on the sofa, Axel was in his crate, which was a few feet away from the sofa, it was covered over, and every 2 hours I was waking up whether I liked it or not and waking Axel up whether he liked it or not, and we were heading out into the garden for him to have a toilet. And again, that's just because his bladder and his muscles are still developing, he hasn't really got the control there, and we want to avoid accidents wherever possible. Of course, there'll be some times when they happen, but for us, building a routine was the way to start to help him learn that that's where he goes for his toilet. And hopefully, as you heard a little earlier when I paused it, he will now tell us that he does need to go outside, and he'll give us that little yappy bark, which is fantastic, which means he absolutely understands that outside is where he needs to go, and he will try and signal to us when he feels like he needs to. So that first night, again, every couple of hours, up and out. And the next morning, we actually started the interactions with Betty Boo. And what we did with Betty was effectively a little bit like Hugo, but again, trying to keep it very non-eventful. So what we did is Betty Boo came down in the morning. She wanted to go out into the garden. And what we did is as she approached the back door to go out, I actually let Axel out of his crate so they could both go out into the garden together and go on toilet. And Betty had a bit of a sniff, but she was more interested in doing her morning routine than she was about Axel, which for us completely kind of de-escalated any potential situation. So rather than Betty being full of beans and really interested in what Hugo, what Axel was doing, she had a different agenda. She wanted to go on toilet. So as a result of that, that allowed us to then basically direct her attention into the toilet and routine, and then Axel could just go out and have a sniff and have a mooch. And then when they came back into the house together again, obviously we had measures in place to ensure that obviously we could keep things nice and calm and relaxed. Now, folks, this I 100% realise is a very rare event and not something that would happen with many dogs, let alone a dog like Betty and kind of some of her history and baggage. But unbelievably, Betty, within that kind of first full 24 hours of Axel being now alive, was incredible with him. She was very gentle, very delicate, give him lots of space and time. But more surprisingly and more heartwarmingly is she actually started to initiate and play with him. Now, don't get me wrong, Axel was instigating the play, but Betty was reciprocating, which was amazing. So they would start to play with toys together, and they would have some little interactions that were very short and sweet, but absolutely beautiful to watch, which honestly took the weight of the world off our shoulders, because honestly, I'd kind of earmarked about 4 to 6 weeks of that kind of that chess game of constantly kind of rotating through the dogs, lots of segregation, lots of real slow and steady integrations between all of the dogs, but especially between Axel and Betty. But Betty was, yeah, she was just absolutely phenomenal. Again, we didn't let that lure us into a false sense of security, but I won't lie, it did take a big weight off our shoulders and allowed us to accelerate some of that integration work much quicker than the 4 to 6 week timeline that I originally planned. So that's kind of the first big 24 hours, guys, since Axel joined our lives. And as I mentioned at the top, he's been with us 6 weeks now. So I'm just kind of going to let rip with a few of the things that have kind of happened, some of the experiences that we've had. And yeah, hopefully you find it insightful. Hopefully you find it helpful. So firstly, naturally, I'm a dog trainer. So funnily enough, lots of friends and family were asking us a lot about what training are we doing. And actually, for the first couple of weeks, folks, barely did any. It was very much about managing integration, ensure Axel was comfortable, ensure that we were getting into the rhythms of the, you know, the 2 hour toilet breaks and taking him out after every time he woke up or had something to eat or had a play or whatever it was doing, ensuring, you know, he had all the appropriate chewing outlets, all that kind of thing. So the first couple of weeks was very much kind of just man-marking Axel and also, again, you know, providing everything to Hugo and Betty Boo. And that was enough work on its own. You know, without throwing extra pressure in there to train or to do anything else, that was way, way too much. He was still actually waiting his second vaccination when he came to us. So that was a little bit delayed. So we weren't in a position to really take him out, certainly for, you know, the stereotypical walk. But what we did have access to was a dog buggy. So we had some outings where Axel would go in the buggy and he could go and start to see and experience and explore the world through the buggy, you know, down to the parks, you know, seeing other dogs, ducks, water, sounds, traffic, proper socialization 101 kind of things without the without really the smells or the textures on the ground. But you could certainly obviously enjoy the smells as we kind of walked along and he got pushed around like royalty in his buggy. So we did a lot of that socialization work, a lot of that family integration work, and we kept it fairly light on the training front for the first couple of weeks. But naturally, we enrolled him into some puppy classes. So we decided to do, obviously, my own puppy classes. So Axel is coming to the puppy classes that I run. So my wife brings him to those. However, together, because we want to experience that as well. I want him to go and experience different learning environments, but I also want to, you know, enjoy having a puppy in my life and being a puppy daddy and kind of going and experiencing those things. So we booked him into some other local dog training classes. So we are 3 weeks into 4 weeks of one course, which is through a national charity. And then we've actually decided to do a bit of a gun dog puppy course with another fantastic local trainer, which starts at the end of this month, as well as obviously the one that he's doing with me. So the poor lad's getting schooled quite a lot, what will soon be 3 times a week. But again, that's fantastic because that's allowed us to really start to ensure that we're training the right things for him and that he's getting those different experiences as well. And I'm not honestly resting on my laurels expecting that just because I'm a dog trainer, I've got all of this wrapped up and it's a done deal, because it absolutely isn't. We have absolutely had the usual challenges, you know, things like toilet training has not been a smooth and easy ride. There's been accidents, there's been hiccups. But again, every time those things have happened, honestly, they've been our fault. You know, I've not got up quick enough to let him out, or I've accidentally missed, one of those intervals when he should have been going outside and he's been caught short. And, you know, again, that's my failing of him. My failing him rather than him failing anything else. Teething, mouthing, he is like a puppy. He will get his gob on anything. Anything and everything he can get his gob on, he will absolutely do it. So we've spent a lot of time teaching that drop, which is basically exchanging whatever he's got in his gob for something else, whether that's a toy, whether that's a food reward, whatever it might be. And that's been brilliant, but it still doesn't take his urge to still do that stuff. So again, at times we do have to manage his environment. He will be crated during the day at times, you know, if we need to pop to the shops, for example, to go and do a bit of shopping. We have a routine where he'll go in the crate and he'll have a snooze in the crate, which again gives us that security that he isn't out there exploring, you know, the world with his mouth, getting hold of cables or whatever else that he might decide is the best and the latest thing to chew. His growth with Betty has been phenomenal. They are thick as thieves now, and if anything, it's gone too far the other way. Their love of playing is fantastic, but naturally, as siblings do, their play can get a little bit rough and tumble. So actually what we're doing now is, rather than trying to encourage the play, I'm actually trying to decourage the play and actually trying to get it back into more appropriate play styles. Because again, as Betty is one of the main dogs that Axel interacts with, I don't want him learning that that is the only way that you play. And why this is important is the game that they like to play is what we affectionately call bitey face. So it's a lot of snarling, a lot of teeth, and they like to climb on each other, proper rough and tumble kind of play, which is, again, it's wonderful to watch, but it needs to be moderated, and I need Axel to learn that he can switch off from that type of play. They can do other things, like they can run around together, they can play tug together. They're very good at playing tug together. It's not quite as good as bitey face. That is definitely their favourite game. But I will try and redirect them into playing tug toys together rather than playing bitey face, because naturally it gets very intense, it's very exciting, and both of them get too carried away with it if it goes on too long. So again, we have to be a little bit of a party pooper and get in there and kind of calm things down and segregate them where we need to, just to give them a few minutes to recover and recoup. They do lovely signals to each other to ebb and flow that play. However, they love it so much, they won't naturally stop every single time. They do it sometimes, but not always, which is why when that play starts, again, we've got to be vigilant and watch them and make sure that it's appropriate. And that kind of then ties in with the class thing with Axel as well, because what that's given him is those interactions with other dogs, and actually, more importantly, kind of ignoring other dogs, because I don't want him to see dogs as the biggest source of fun in the world and he has to charge over and play bitey face with all of them. What I want him to learn how to do is to chill out and how to relax. And we've done a lot of that. So we've been out places, garden centres, cafes, pubs, any excuse really, to take him out and get him comfortable being in those environments, relaxing, chilling out, snoozing on his blanket, you know, kind of trying to give him those solid foundations to experience the world, but also for them not to be too over the top or too exciting or too adrenaline fueled for him. He's had his first grooming experience, which interestingly he didn't like. Wasn't a big fan of the grooming experience. All the component parts, interestingly, he's very good at. So for example, if I want to inspect him, so if I want to, you know, kind of file his nails, if I want to inspect his paws, his ears, his tail, etc., he's brilliant and he's lovely, and he doesn't squirm around. He stands very still and he'll let me do that. Getting wet and kind of experience of water, he's just gradually being grown in confidence with pretty much every single day. It is very warm at the moment, so he's got a little paddling pool that he happily climbs into and everything. He when he was, probably an over-confession here, folks, but when he was still in those very first few kind of days and weeks of joining us, if I needed a shower, it was honestly much easier for him to come in the bathroom with me than it was for me to kind of get him into his other environments. So there's been times he's had a wander into the shower whilst I've been in there. So again, experience of water's not really been a big thing for him. He's had a little bit of experience with a kind of a blower or a hairdryer type solution. And again, not a big fan of the noise, but generally, you know, he wasn't kind of running away and cowering from it. He was generally happy to be in its presence. So all of these little component parts we've done a bit of work with, and he was brilliant with. But when he went to the groomers, again, it's a very different environment. So it was a new place, new people. He'd been separated from us. You know, people wanting to introduce him to, you know, the sounds and the noises and the smells and the, you know, the experiences. And I think it was just all a little bit too much for him. And he got a little bit of a wriggly worm and wasn't really kind of wanting to cooperate, which is fine because it was his first experience. And that's kind of why he went. It was meant to be there to for him to experience that stuff and not kind of be forced into it. So our fantastic local groomer was brilliant and gave him that little bit of an introduction day, which was fab. He's done a whole host of other things, and I'm sure you don't want to listen to me witter on about, you know, that person with the new puppy who tells you about every single minute of every single day that they've had with him. But he's doing brilliant. But yeah, the time consumption is incredible. And even now at 16 weeks, he's now laid here fast asleep next to me. But, you know, he's growing, he's developing, he's teething. And all of these things mean his mood constantly changes, which means I've constantly kind of got to be aware and alert and ready, excuse me, to interact with him and to take on those needs and try and help him out. But he is honestly a wonderful puppy. If you do follow me on the socials, you might have seen a few pictures of him. But I have tried to keep it relatively quiet, guys. There's a lot of other things going on. Great Paws at the moment, so it's been a mad kind of 6-8 weeks. But he's doing absolutely brilliantly, and I'm really excited to kind of evolve his learning journey. But now he's getting a bit older, he's got a little bit more stamina. His training will be starting to evolve, and we've got some big plans for him. We're going to be looking at doing, obviously, the gun dog work with him. We're going to be looking at scent work with him. We're going to be also looking at doing maybe some obedience with him as well. And just trying to give him as many experiences as he's growing up. A bit like you would do probably potentially with human kids, you know, try things out and see which ones he seems to really enjoy. And if he enjoys them, then absolutely we will continue them from there. But yes, so puppy part two, folks. There's a whole host of different topics that what I'll probably do is do little mini episodes on to kind of dive into things like dealing with, you know, mouthing and teething, dealing with toilet training in more detail. But I just wanted to give you an update and let you know about our wonderful new addition to our family. It was, like I say, obviously I mentioned a little bit earlier, it was really rough, obviously losing Hugo during this time period as well. So obviously the excitement of a new pup joining our family and the heartbreak and devastation of losing my old boy has been an emotional roller coaster. But it's life with dogs. Sadly, they don't stick around as long as we would like them to. And we've got to try and give them the best life we can whilst we're privileged enough to have them with us. But Axel is doing amazing. For those wondering, it is Axel, as in Axel Rose of Guns N' Roses fame. Just great music, great band, and a band that was actually mine and my wife's first ever gig together, which is kind of why it holds a special place with us, and that's why he's come to be an Axel. But he's a brilliant boy. We're super chuffed with him. We're so pleased with how Betty's integrated with him as well. And as episodes roll on, folks, I will keep you posted to how he gets on. But if you do have any puppy related questions, guys, if you want to know anything more at all, again, head on over to the website greatpaws.co.uk, drop over the contact me page and drop me an email, or look me up on social media. You can find me at GreatPawsNE for Northeast, so GreatPawsNE on both Instagram and on Facebook. I'm even GreatPaws on TikTok as well, and I think you'll probably see some more posts of him on there in the coming days and weeks. But for now, folks, it's lovely to be back recording again. Now I've finally got 5 minutes to myself to be able to do it, or in this case, 35 minutes to be able to do it. But it's lovely to be back, folks. We'll hopefully get some more regular episodes coming back your way. And until next time, take it easy, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening to the Woofing Possum podcast. As always, if you do want to get in touch, you can find us on social media. I'm at Great Paws NE, which is Great Paws NE for Northeast, on both Facebook and Instagram. You can also contact me via my website, which is greatpaws.co.uk. And you can also consume some free online courses at greatpawsgang.co.uk. Excellent. Thank you very much, folks. And we will see you soon for our next episode.